to me, it's always a nice collaboration with the client. You're going to show them something that's what I thought was a 10 out of 10. They're going to like it. They're going to suggest, oh, what if we did, you know, what if we did this? And then you actually tweak it and it's even better now. You're like, whoa, I didn't even think of that. I'm glad that they pushed me. That little bit of push is going to typically for myself make a little bit better of a logo. Like when, what does David Goggins say? When you think you're done, you're only halfway done.
Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, we break down the art of healthy hustling, overcoming the inner critic, and growing your creative business. What's going on? You're listening to episode 170 of the Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective, and my mission is to help you grow a fulfilling, profitable, and sustainable creative side hustle. At the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout out on a future episode. Super quick announcement, I mentioned this last week, but on May 20th, I'm dropping my official digital ink brush set for Procreate. These are the exact custom brushes I use in all my illustration, lettering, and calligraphy work. And the whole goal of these is to help you capture that hand-drawn effect in a fraction of the time. And leading up to the launch, you're going to want to join the waitlist over at digitalinkbrushset.com in order to access a 3-day drawing challenge for chances to have your work featured. And this kicks off tomorrow, Thursday, May 14th. So jump on this. During this challenge, you're going to get access to free sampler brushes. I'm going to be hosting giveaways. And once the brushes launch, those on the waitlist are going to get an exclusive 35% early bird discount that runs through the end of May. And this is specifically for those who are on this wait list. And the price is never going to be lower than this, so take advantage of that. Again, don't miss out on these perks and join the wait list again over at digitalinkbrushset.com. So in the world of design, April showers don't bring May flowers. They bring a heavy-hitting, logo-centric May episode. And back for round three is my Lincoln Design Familia for a special logo Mayhem Edition. Lincoln is one of the industry-leading juggernauts, crushing the dopest identity systems, branding, packaging, merch, and more. They slay design dragons for the biggest brands in the world like Hasbro, Mattel, Disney, Harley, Nike, WWE, Google, and more. Seriously, there are no limits to the style of work they can expertly kick out. At the same time, though, they're not afraid to chop it up with your favorite local mom and pop shop. And if you want a deeper dive into Lincoln and their backstory and the team, I suggest going and checking out the previous episodes we've had, episodes 41 and episodes 155, because today we're peering into the brains of the Lincoln team and their logo identity process. And this is going to be a heavy visual one, so I highly, highly, highly recommend watching the video ever at perspective-collective.com/170. It's the first time we've done something like this on the show. And again, we're diving deep, page for page, in their extremely popular Logo Mayhem book that continues to fly off their shelves. If you're a logo junkie or a badge junkie, this is a must-have staple in your book collection. But in today's episode, we're going to talk about getting inside the client's mind, advice for young designers, logo tips and strategies, showing the work you want to attract, Lincoln's inspiration, the power of personal branding, making moves during a crisis, and more. If you're a fan of their work or just a logo-loving junkie in general, then you're going to love this one. One more thing, for podcast listeners only, Lincoln is giving you 10% off everything in their shop, especially this Logo Mayhem book with promo code PERSPECTIVE10. But before we get started, today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Retro Supply. They're the leading provider of Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and Affinity Design resources to make your work stand out in a fraction of the time. Take advantage of 20% off with my never-expiring promo code SCOTTY20, that's Scotty with the Y20, through the special links in the show notes or in my Instagram bio. You can easily find it there too. So thank you, Retro Supply. And again, I highly recommend watching the video of this conversation over at perspective-collective.com/170. And do me a favor, if you found value in this episode, which I know you will, share a screenshot or a video of you working to this in the background. Tag me on Instagram as well as Lincoln Design Co. so we can connect and I can share the love back. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, today I'm joined by my family, Dan Jansen and Dustin Noted of Lincoln Design Co. for a special round 3 May Logo Mayhem Edition. Long time no talk, guys. How you doing amidst the chaos?
Scotty, what's going on? How are you?
I'm sheltering at home at the moment, brother.
Yeah, us too. I'm currently at the office because the whole crew is working from home, so it allows me to still come in and work from the office. But yeah, these guys are on lockdown.
Yep, that's me. I'm chilling at the house. I haven't been outside in like 20 days.
Ah, dude, that we at least been going for little walks. I feel like I'm in prison right now, and you get that 1 hour a day to get outside for a little bit. So, yeah, that's my day to just take a walk around the neighborhood. But so for those who haven't heard, you guys were episode 41, and then episode 155 just recently back in January. So I'm not gonna go deep on the whole spiel of who you are, what you do, why people should care, who Lincoln is. But how about we just give the surface level, give a brief Wikipedia page summary about yourselves and Lincoln as a whole, and then we're just going to dive right into this Mayhem Edition special.
Cool. Yeah, so Lincoln Design Company is a small boutique design studio out of Portland, Vancouver, Washington area. Been in business now for almost 5 years, and we have a crew of six plus seven, I guess, with counting. But yeah, just small group of guys. And women doing some design work in the logo, branding, packaging field. Dustin, what about you? I'm Dan. I'm the creative director. And then Dustin's on as well.
Yep, I'm Dustin. I'm the art director at Lincoln. I've been with Dan for like 10 years now, even before Lincoln. So he's the man. And yeah, I just help Dan out with whatever I can, from, you know, designing web work, helping out the guys, sending comps, you know, whatever we got to do.
So if people want to go back, we go deep. His whole squad also runs side hustles on the side. They work with the biggest brands in the world. If you don't know, you should probably get to know them by now. But today is all about the special May edition of the Logo Mayhem book. It is a collection of badges and logos from Lincoln Design Co. You guys want to kind of talk a little bit more about this? Like when it came out, what's the whole we talk about it back in episode 155, but today let's just nerd out and go deep. For all you logo junkies, your brand identity designers out here, this one is for you.
Yeah, it's a good book. Dan decided to throw down a Logo Mayhem book. I think it's doing really well. You know, I think it's doing better than expected.
In terms of like people buying it, or what do you mean? Just like the warm reception of it?
Yeah, I mean, we're already on the second printing. The first printing went really fast. We've done a couple portfolio books in the past, and, you know, they did decent. But, you know, maybe a couple months later, we were still on the first round of printing, and we're still stocked on them. So, I mean, these are flying off the shelves. So we're looking to get them on Amazon just to get them out there more. You know what I mean? So that's a little bit of a process to figure out. So we just make logos. So to figure out how to get the stuff up on there is a little harder than we were thinking. But yeah, there's I don't even know. Dan just added 8 pages recently, so I don't even know how many pages are on here. It's over 200 pages.
So I got this. I think I got first edition right now.
Yeah, same.
Where'd the whole process or the idea come from? From like in the past, you guys did print related things, portfolio books, I guess what you would say. But where did the process or the idea come from? This Logo Mayhem, just get everything all in one spot instead of just like the quarterly zines or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had the Logo Lounge books forever. You know, those are classic, the Los Logos. So, you know, at some point, Dan and I were like, dude, we could make our own version of that with just our logos, where, you know, those other books are a compilation of tons of different studios' logos. So it's like, well, let's just make our own, dude. Like, you know, we have the ability to. We have so many logos that we do, even like between rejects and logos that are picked, we could easily make a 200-page book and fill it out. So I think it was a no-brainer. You know what I mean? In the future, I've been pushing Dan, let's do an apparel mayhem. You know what I mean? So I think the series can keep on going. We do a lot of different stuff. We could do packaging mayhem, you know? So
merch mayhem. Yeah.
It's really just been fun. Dan's kind of like the king of print. He comes from that world originally. So I think he's always wanted to have something tangible in your hand. I think with this whole Instagram world popping off, there's a value to be had when you can hold it, touch it, see it. I mean, even with nowadays, the internet's getting slow. Everything's bogging down a little bit with the quarantine. So I think there's even more of a value on tangible goods, you know?
So Dan, from your perspective with this idea, was this more to have for you guys? Was it for clients? Was it to make passive income? Or was it just to have this all-in-one showcase of Lincoln? You know, was it for you?
No, yeah, it was more for us. It was more for clients, if anything, you know. We had our old portfolio book that we did like a volume 1, volume 2 So instead of making volume three, you know, Dustin and I were, you know, kicking around the idea of just doing logos. So this was going to be basically something to send to clients. I kind of knew that if we made it and wanted to sell it, you know, it'd probably do pretty well, just because if you're a designer and you're going to buy a book, you're most likely, you know, you're going to buy a logo book. Like, you know, half of my collection of books is our logo book. So to me, it's like one of the most valuable books you can have as a designer, you know, just to get ideas, spark inspiration. So yeah, it was mainly just a client piece. And then we put it up for sale as well.
So just a hardcore piece of outreach. And is this something when they came in, you just dished it out to all current clients? Did you send it to any potential clients on the list you wanted to work with?
Honestly, when we launched it, it was Black Friday of last year, and it sold pretty quick. And I actually was just struggling to keep up with shipping, and I didn't send it out to hardly any clients. I've since been on a couple meetings to Mattel, a couple other places where I'll take like a stack of 15 or 20 and hand them out. But for the most part, I really haven't had a chance to send out that many to clients. It's been selling really well. So I'm just trying to keep up with sending them out to actually consumers. So
should we dive in and just nerd out over some of this stuff? And I'll share my screen. You guys just tell me when you want to stop me to scroll.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, sounds good.
You got your blacks all right on there, Dan? Are all your blacks good?
What's your black code? Are you 30, 30, 30, 100? Or what's your true black or deep black, rich black?
60, 40, 40, 100 is what we do. But let me tell you a little bit about this book. So the cover has a gold foil stamp on the cover, but to kind of keep some of the costs down, some of the pages are done basically black on white. So it's actually 100% black, no 60, 40, 40, no CMYK. So you'll notice that some of the pages are black and white. Those pages were cheaper to print. And then some of the pages are full color. So it was kind of laid out a little bit different, and I kind of work with a printer to figure that out. Cause to me, like, a logo should work in black and white, and a lot of our logos and stuff, I think, look better in black and white. So I already had the idea that I wanted like half the book to basically just be black and white logos. So there's no reason to pay for full, you know, four color print when you're doing just a black and white page.
All right, get ready to see the shit. And if you're just an audio listener right now, you're going to want to go over to perspective-collective.com/170 so you can follow along with the video of this.
Yeah, so these are a bunch of random logos for various clients. I mean, everything from Mattel, you got the Daredevils Disney project in the middle, a little bit of work for Nike, old one for Element Skateboards, or Etney Shoes. Mom and pop kind of tea company, bottom right. So yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is, you know, a variety of big clients as well as kind of startups and smaller clients as well.
Well, and what you guys specialize in, you could do super simple, a super simple mark if you wanted to, but you guys specialize in like the detail and the customization, the truly unique shit that like is going to stand out amongst the noise. You know, and shout out to Mama Sauce on this one. I'd love to know a little bit more about this one.
Yeah. Mama Sauce is amazing. I mean, we've been working with them, kind of did this full graphics kit for them where they wanted, you know, a bunch of different things they could use, you know, whether it be on a business card, t-shirt graphic, whatever. So we basically developed this whole kit with a little bit of feedback from them as far as kind of hitting on the Florida vibe, some stuff with gators, you know, this and that. So there was a little bit of a brief from them on these, but for the most part, we're just kind of left to go wild, you know, show some comps, whatever we kind of wanted. And there's a whole nother set of this that we did probably a couple months ago that we'll be showing here soon, probably on Instagram.
So does everybody on the team just get like part of the brief and then everybody gets to like mix in their concepts?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this was a fun project. This was really fun. I mean, every guy is doing like 4 to 5 pieces, you know. They do give a little bit of a brief, but I'd say they're open, they're free, you know, where some clients want specific, we want X, you know. So it's almost more fun when you get to kind of determine a little bit of what the content is. And then even them being the best in the field, I mean, who's better than Mama Sauce? It almost gives like everybody an internal pressure, like, man, we got to bring the heat on this one. So it almost makes for a better project, you know? So
is that you with the custom type over here?
That's Damaso, actually. Damaso coming through. It's hard. You can, you know, he'd be keeping you guessing. You don't even know what he's going to come through with. But Mama Sauce is one of the more fun ones to work with. It's when you see that brief come through, you're like, all right, sick. I got to get ready. We're going to have to kill this one in a couple days.
Nick Sambrato kind of head the show on that.
He did. Yep. He did. And then we've been hanging out with Tim Styles a lot lately. He's one of the in-house printers, like the main print.
Timmy.
He's my guy. He's cool. We flew out to Denver to do a couple events, and he flew out and was printing stuff live. And yeah, he's the man.
Solid. Love Mama Sauce. They did my first ever print, a letterpress print, like first product I ever put out there. So special, special people.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah. Tell me what you want to talk about as we go.
Dude, there's so many stories. I mean, from the bottom of Hilton Collective is a professional supercross racer, legend. Just to even meet him, him coming in the office a couple years ago and hanging out with him, you're like, dude, this guy is awesome. Hilton stands for Happy Living the Now. He's retired now and still pushing the brand. So yeah, he's awesome. I mean, and off to the right, Tony Hawk. Dan's been working with that brand for way before Lincoln, you know.
Back in the soup days.
Exactly. So, I mean, we could have probably showed, you know, 50 pages of Tony Hawk stuff, but we just had to grab one and show it on there. So
who did the lockup right here?
I think that's Dan. Dan might have to tell you on that, but that right Tony Hawk lockup, I think is Dan.
Dan, this is you flexing over here?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's old, super old. Yeah. That was Tony Hawk piece.
You get to play again these days or no?
Yeah, no, that was a while ago. That's 10 years old.
Speaking of the pattern games, like, love the patterns. You said Jordan was kind of the run in the show of the patterns? Or?
Yeah, he does a lot of the pattern work. Yep, for sure. Dustin's been doing some of it recently. But yeah, for the part, we'll try and get Jordan going on it.
Yeah, I got to usually hit him up like, yo, like, is this how you typically do it? He's kind of like the pattern lord. So it's like, sometimes it's weird when you get into the repeat swatch function in Illustrator, and it's always a little tricky, especially when you get textures in there. So it's like, he always has these little tricks that he's figured out, and I always got to bug him like, yo, is this what I do? Do I set it up like this? What do you think?
I dig it. So much shit to look at.
Fire. That Freem bear is so sick. I wish they would replace their current bear with this one. Their current one is not bad, but it could be better. So yeah, this one on the right is money.
Man, have you guys always been in the game of coffee, or is this just like something more new coming around for you?
It's kind of a newer thing. I mean, we've been doing a little bit of packaging and branding in the coffee space. Definitely. I mean, we made coffee mugs way back with Revere and stuff.
Ooh, this one was fun.
Yeah. Is there page two? A million? Yeah. About to say, there's like a ton of different icons with that. Yeah. Oh, shit. Let's go Hawks. Iowa Hawkeyes. I see it there. Hopefully you tucked that one in there for me. Yeah, talk about a little about this NFL wise.
This was an ongoing project that we were asked to do almost 3 years ago
when we first moved up here. Yeah.
Yeah, right when we moved up here, we were asked to. They have a mark for Nike football, American football, that kind of represents the whole football category. And so we had one of the guys from Nike come to the studio, and we were asked to super rush, turn around a ton of icon sketches for this. And we did it in like 2 days, came back with a ton of sketches. Some of them are in here.
And you still got like a graveyard of tons of unused stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. He came back like a couple days later, was like, hey, we're going to pause on this. Or internal, we're just going to use last year's. So we figured, okay, this thing is dead. And then a year and a half later, he came back and said, hey, we want to pick up this project again. Let's go back, revisit those icons, as well as throw in some new ones. So we started over. And kind of, you know, threw some new icons out there and basically went round after round. These are some of the comps that we presented, but then from there we narrowed it down to a couple different different icons and landed on the final one, which isn't a big departure from what they had the previous couple of years, but it's a little more cleaned up, a little easier to use.
Yes, it still's got that edge, you know, but it's definitely new. And even just to show them all the versions of what they could have, you know, they could have went a little more modern and contemporary, but they kind of stuck to their edgier look. But I think that's how a lot of branding goes nowadays. You see the update of whatever brand, you know, MasterCard, it's like, okay, same one, but just a little bit newer. So it's kind of like common practice.
So with something like this, all of these, like how many do you guys, like 100 between 60 of you guys throwing down? Dan, do you get to participate in something like this too?
I got to mess with some of these. I actually ended up, the final one was partially Davy, and then I took Davy's, because a project like this will work on, client will come back and there'll be like minor changes. And so then for the most part, I'll do those minor changes so that, say, Davy or Dustin can keep working on their project or projects that they're working on. So like this one, it was Davy's kind of icon, and then I had to tweak a bunch of it to get it to the final one. But for the most part, these guys did most of the icons that we presented.
Word. All right. The more graphical stuff, man, you tell me if you just want me to fly through things right now, because I'm just going to get caught up staring.
Ooh, classic. XOIZ, Danny Way, legendary.
Yeah, this was kind of a fun one. This actually got blown out to a whole apparel package and hang tags, hats, everything. Brand guide as well. But yeah, it was basically Danny Way, the pro skater, his old skate shop in San Diego. And then he turned it into an apparel company years ago. So he was revamping it and kind of going to launch it again. So he came to us for the branding.
Do you get a brief saying, hey, we want something clean, scalable, legible?
Yeah. He had a whole brief, and he has like a brand manager, and they had a bunch of different ideas, and it basically ended up being the one on the left.
Custom type.
Ooh, look at that graffiti Shrek is fire.
A little Davy piece.
Tommaso, yeah. You?
Davy.
Davy? All right.
Davy's got the...
Man, I can't even guess.
Ooh, that was a fun one. It's for a up-and-coming video game studio, and then a video game on the left. I think that's maybe our first actual game logo. We were trying to do some stuff with a different video game company in the past, but this one's for the actual game itself, which is pretty cool. It's always fun for a nice internal, you know, friendly competition to see, you know, if you did five, if you can get three in out of the five, you're hyped, you know. And
I'm sure, do you guys got like little awards or like bragging rights or little homemade trophies or something?
We got the WWE belt. So if you get a big project win, you get to wear the belt for a week, you know.
Word. All right.
That was classic. They're like a OG SoCal brand, tattoo based. This was a fun project.
Can't go wrong with a little bit of Disney work here and there. This was cars, badges and stuff for a style guide, which then ended up being patches. Oh, shit.
We can stop and appreciate this one.
Grizzly Wheeler.
Yeah, Grizzly's the man. I've been videoing him lately. We've been in quarantine just talking crap back and forth. He's fun. He's a fun guy.
He does pretty much all my pins. Does he still kick out all your guys' stuff too? Patchwork and pins and...
Yeah, he does some of it. It depends. Like on the tees, it's the shipping from, you know, South Carolina to here is just too much. So we'll print the t-shirts in-house now. We're local. But he still helps us out with patches and things.
Yeah, for quality, he's the best around. For patches and pins, like if you want top-notch quality, he's your guy.
Shout out to Grizzly. Whew, look at that lockup. God damn, that name brand.
Whew. Yeah, these are the fun ones to me. I mean, it's cool to see a page of all the same brand, but I love seeing a page of just, you know, whatever, 10,
like a flashy.
10 different pieces from totally different styles and brands and everything in between. This is what it gets me going.
It's literally like a logo flashy if you walked into a tattoo parlor, in a sense. I like that little subtle texture on that.
Scout, local shop here in the Northwest, or shops. They have a couple shops.
And what people may not know, they probably only just see the big names touted around because that's what people like to flex, but you guys do work for brands small all the way to large.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely can't discriminate on the young ones, the smaller shops, you know. We'll
you find there's a lot more freedom in those. They're just like, hey, we like this kind of style you guys do. Have fun.
Yeah, there is for sure.
Yeah, typically, yeah. I mean, this Nitro Circus stuff is super cool. I mean, Dan and I are both originally from Southern California, both grew up riding and racing dirt bikes. So, I mean, this touches real close. Travis Pastrana is a legend, so... I mean, to be able to do this project was super fun, even to, you know, show my buddies back home and my dad even, you know, this is one for the books.
Yeah, and there's something like this, it's hard. Like, it's hard for me because this was a big project and it was an ongoing project for a couple months. And there was patterns involved in this, t-shirt graphics. Like, there was a brand book, an internal presentation we did for them for their events. And so there are so many pieces to what we did for Nitro Circus that, you know, with doing a logo book like this, I'm always kind of like, well, shit, maybe this should have been a portfolio book because, like, you know, we could have shown the patterns for Nitro and kind of blew the whole thing out.
So that's where I kind of struggled in the past. Like, oh, do I want to do just the logo book? Because there's so much more to so many of these projects, you know? So we'll definitely do another portfolio book in the future where it is, you know, all the work, you know, print work, everything.
Yeah, I like the Mayhem series continuing.
Yeah, yeah, Dustin had a great idea for that.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. These kids' logos are a totally different, you know, vibe to the other stuff. This is almost like what, it's maybe a little harder, you know what I mean? It's kind of easier to do something simple, flat and black, but like once you got to get into the color and really get that kid vibe, I mean, there's definitely a, you know, a certain skill to be able to shine it up all crazy in Illustrator like that.
Yeah, you got to switch gears. You got a small coffee company that comes to you and asks for, you know, branding for their startup. And then, you know, the next day you get WWE that wants a shiny logo smashing together, you know, for their next toy or packaging or something. So it's definitely a totally different process.
Like the fact you're doing Paw Patrol and I'm like watching that shit now with my son. It's wild, wild.
Yeah, we do a ton of style guides for WWE, so it's pretty fun. A lot of times it's like focused on one character, and we'll do, I don't even know, 100 pieces with just on one character, or sometimes it'll be like, okay, we're going to do a legend style guide where it's 10 OG characters, and then we'll do maybe 20 pieces per character. So, I mean, we've been doing WWE stuff for, I don't know, 10 years now or something like that, so it's always fun.
Are you guys everyone on the team, hardcore WWE fans?
It's grown on me. It's definitely grown on me over the years. You know, when I was a kid, I'd watch it. And now you kind of understand and meet the people and go to the WWE headquarters and see the big pirate flag flying on top of the building. And you get the vibe and you're like, damn, these guys they're real deal. Yeah. Plan B's classic. That's some OG skate stuff. They're doing decent nowadays, but they used to be the Nike of the skateboard world. So to be able to do Plan B stuff is huge.
Here we go. Getting all country too.
Yeah, I actually had to ask my stepmom about Eric Church. I mean, I love music, but I'm more on the hip hop side. So it's
same.
I'm like, who's this guy? And my stepmom's vouched, you know, oh, he's huge. He's, you know, the next whoever. He's massive. So it's pretty cool to be able to switch gears and do that.
There is no genre or style you guys can't jump into.
This is another fun project. This is a little older, but yeah, doing an Air Max Day graphics was super fun. You know, this is probably one of the more fun projects for myself.
I'd say most designers' dreams that I know would be something like this.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, Nike's kind of like I like to say the Navy SEALs of our field. They're the top. So it's to be able to do work for them is fire. Well, another classic one, we got to help rebrand Maxxis, classic tire company. They're doing tires for everything from bikes to trailers to off-road vehicles, dirt bikes. We recently got to redo the truck wrap for Jeremy McGrath. So yeah.
Nice.
Very fun.
Of course. Crop shout out here.
Yeah, we did the crop Baton Rouge event, and while we're there doing it, you know, Matt's super cool guy. So we just started spitballing with him, and you know, after like six Coors Lights, be like, dude, we gotta do this in Portland. Like, let's go, let's make it happen. And just kind of bugging him, and we made it happen. Found the venue, picked the roster, did the branding. It was pretty fun.
A lot of handmade sketches first. So yeah, I guess that's a question I want to know. Does a lot of stuff start off like analog? Like these clearly are analog based.
Yeah, it depends who, each guy kind of has a different process in the studio. Davey is definitely that guy where he'll sketch, and then the sketches will look just like, you know, the vectors that come out. We've had guys in the past that will do amazing sketches, but then you see the vector and you're like, oh, it's not as good as, you know, initially thought, but that's kind of Davey's process. For me personally, I don't really sketch at all. I just go straight into Vector and I kind of like sketch in Illustrator per se. Jordan's kind of, I guess, in the middle of me and Davey where he sketches a bit. Sometimes he doesn't. You can kind of, you know, do whatever, I guess. Ooh, Filson, this one for me was a big one. They're a OG brand. It says on here 1897, you know, they're from Seattle. They're doing hard goods. Like if you think Carhartt is cool and OG, this is the version that's past that. So to be able to do badges for them and patches was a personal favorite. This is one where I show my grandpa and he's like, holy cow, you did that? Like, okay. Like you've made it.
Grandpa takes you a little more serious now.
Exactly.
You're not just a hobby artist.
Exactly.
Damn, I like that too. All right, High Street. I know you guys had some stuff to say about this one.
cool guy, cool sandwich shop. Like, he's taking the sandwich game to the next level for sure. We have yet to go there and eat a sandwich, but just from the looks of it and the marketing he does, dude's name's Doobie.
Okay, sounds pretty fitting then with the name. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he's cool. He came to us for the branding, and then we've kind of just continued the relationship doing cups and boxes and sandwich wraps, and just finished the menu board for in-store, as well as some new teas.
I mean, we've done some hot sauce packaging, gift cards, joint packaging. They're awesome. The coolest part is they're actually, the street that they have the building on is actually High Street. So it really makes sense.
So does someone like that, like, I guess smaller mom and pop-ish in a sense, but like, does he come in with a brief, or like, what's a process for like one, not like a high end corporation? And what's the kind of a process of someone coming in more low end that you work with? And low end, not in terms of like quality of product or anything. I need a better word for that.
Right. This guy's got his shit together. So when he came in, he had some decent stuff already.
Okay.
And he definitely had a vibe and a style with the High Street, and, you know, some of it's, you know, kind of got the marijuana vibe and whatever. So he definitely had this style and look that he was going for. So it was kind of easy to kick it off and know exactly what he wanted. You know, it's the clients where there either is no brief, or you just kind of get this sense that they don't totally know what they're looking for. Those are the ones that can be a little tougher.
How do you handle someone that doesn't know what they're looking for? Because I know that's a lot of people, and that's our job to be the guide and consultant, brand strategist, be more than a designer. You know, is that a red flag to you immediately, or?
Kind of. Yeah. I feel like 50% of those go south, kind of get a little sideways halfway through, and they're like, or end up going round after round of revisions or comps. I try and go back to them with, if they don't have any examples of like what they want or what they like, I try and throw something back at them. Like, hey, you know, what about this? Are you looking for something super clean? Do you want some illustration incorporated? You know, are you looking for an icon, something like this? And just show them some of our past work and try and get inside their head, you know. But for, you know, and then I'd say 50% of the time, once you show them first round of comps, then all of a sudden they know what they're looking for.
That's usually it right there.
They know what they don't want when they see.
Yeah. We'll kick out like four logos, and then they'll be like, oh, okay. Well, actually I was looking for, you know, Y, not X. And then you're like, oh, all right, cool.
Shit. Why didn't you tell us that in the beginning? You know?
So like, are you showing pre-made stuff you already have for other brands, like you can reference from this book, or are you actually like whipping up some concepts for them for their brand?
No, I mean, to initially kick it off, we're showing old work done for different clients, you know.
I think that's a good tip there. Someone comes in, you know, especially like younger designers or someone getting their feet wet. If someone's hitting you up, they don't know what you want, don't tell them to go find some things on Pinterest. If you have a couple ideas brewing with different styles, you know, show your own work.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. If you can show your own work, you know, it definitely helps. Even with us, you know, with a few different guys working on different projects and having different styles, you know, sometimes I'll show them a bunch of our older work, or they'll come with, you know, samples of our work, and it'll be like one guy's style for the most part or work. And it's like, oh, okay, well, they're looking for this. So, you know, I'll have Dustin work on this branding project, because they're definitely, you know, headed in that direction, in that style.
The Side Hustlers Handbook PDF course is now available over at sidehustlershandbook.com. This is your blueprint for experiencing the freedom of a fulfilling and profitable creative side hustle future. It's an in-depth yet easy to digest and interactive resource packed with thought-provoking and action-oriented exercises, reference examples, and clutch resources. The best part is that it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg or four figures and take you months to complete. So if you're tired of feeling creatively stuck and you refuse to be in the same place you're at a year from now, then this was made specifically for you. It's designed to help you gain extreme clarity and confidence, master and leverage your limited time, become a self-promoting machine to attract the right tribe and or client, and so much more. The best part about this is that a one-time purchase unlocks lifetime free upgrades. However, you got to jump on phase one
of the handbook ASAP at this current introductory rate, as the price is going to increase as I begin updating it with new exercises and expanded resources. So if you're fed up with where you're at and you're ready to invest in your future side hustle success, snag your handbook right now over at sidehustlershandbook.com. Your breakthrough is waiting.
Yeah, this Super Bowl project was pretty fun. Jordan's girlfriend works at a company that services Nike. So yeah, we were able to land a cool project through them. This was for Super Bowl last year, 2019. They had an event where all the old legends would come through and pick out a couple patches, and then there would be some blank jackets there, and they would sew these patches onto the jacket wherever the OG players wanted them. So they could get, one on a chest hit, they can get four down the sleeve. So this was a pretty cool project, and we kicked out maybe, 20 patch concepts. I think they snagged like 12 of them. So this was really fun.
Solid.
Yeah. These are classic too. Six shooters, a bar, like maybe a mile down the road. Jordan did that, super fire. And then one day we were driving to lunch and looked to the left and they had it painted on the window, maybe 10 feet by 5 feet. So to see that thing massive, you're like, oh, dang, look at that, dude. So it's always fun to see your work in real life.
No doubt. Let's start. We won't get into like super deep on a couple projects. We can just really fly through some of these as well and then make sure you get to that Q&A.
Heck yeah, man. Fire. Look at that. So those sketches on the left is all Davey classic. That's his style.
It literally looks like the end product.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's like a big value to be had. Again, I could give you a sketch and hey, maybe it doesn't look like the vector, and it's kind of worse in that case, So Davey's skill set is he's kind of like the dibbling and dabbling in both worlds from vectors and illustrations. So he can give you a good sketch and then give you a better version of the vector. Ooh, clean. Look at that. Made right. They're also up here in Vancouver, Washington. They're Silkscreen Studio, and they do a bunch of merch and stuff like that. So Dan knows these guys, pretty well. So it was fun to work on this project. When someone's local, I feel like you get a little more push on the inside to get it done.
I was going to post on Instagram because we did that toilet paper. It's actually a gun that shoots a roll of toilet paper. Well, you put the toilet paper on the gun and then it gets toilet paper wet and then shoots a giant fucking spitball basically. But I guess now's not the time to be wasting toilet paper.
People are getting a little sensitive right now, triggered.
Yeah. Let's go ripping through a roll of toilet paper online.
That's fire.
Is that just roughing or is that actually like hand drawn?
It's actually drawn over, do the layout in Illustrator and then bring it in Photoshop, draw over it.
Gotcha.
The roughing is not bad, but it kind of is too uniform. I like to change it up a little bit.
A little more organic.
Exactly. This Orcus one was a really fun project. Maybe a personal favorite of mine. This guy's down in Texas and had a cool, fun brand. And just to be able to bring a bunch of different styles that are a little more aggressive is pretty fun to me. Little sharp points on there and stuff.
I would say, yeah, you guys play in the world of hell of aggressive. And then you can get super soft if you wanted to, like, love to hug Elmo. Or kids versus parents, that is the opposite of an aggressive. Like immediately I think of Lincoln with skulls and everything. And then you show me something Paw Patrol. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the range.
Yeah. I mean, I think we could actually execute whatever style is needed, but internally I think, we all lean towards the more aggressive side. So like go back one that Men of Mayhem is going to be super aggressive. This is like never fuck a fucker. That's classic,
Never fuck.
These guys are from Germany, so it's kind of funny to see their take on, the English language. But yeah, we can handle all the styles, but I think internally our brand is going to lean towards the tougher side.
Well, and I know going back to like the last episode, we talk about never be a one trick pony. You could have like your style, but still, have that range of what you can do. It's going to land you more work.
Exactly. Yeah, that Stretch Armstrong one is pretty cool. Just flipping through Netflix one day and then see that thing pop up and on there is like, holy cow, like we did that and there it is on Netflix. Like we should watch it.
Does that ever get old? Seeing your shit out there?
Not really. Especially when it's unexpected, you kind of just hit with it out of the blue. You're like, oh, sick.
Shout out to Distressed Unrest on Instagram.
Yeah, probably one of my more favorite collection pages. And it was pretty cool when he reached out for us to do the logo.
And then Scotty, to your point, I mean, there's a variety of, you know, styles, and from, you know, the childhood little, you know, younger logos to the, you know, Mayhem logo and everything like that. I think, you know, as far as a designer goes and stuff, I think in a lot of ways, you got to kind of diversify your clients and in your work in a way. I mean, you can definitely, you know, if you're a freelancer, you can hone in on your one style, but when shit like this, as far as like the economy and stuff like this happens, you're better off to have a diverse set of clients than say, you know, if you're 100% in on the kind of beer scene and doing labels and branding for beer companies, I mean, you could be very affected by this whole deal right now, you know? I mean, you got restaurants shutting down, you know, beer companies putting shit on pause. So it definitely helps to kind of have a diverse portfolio and client base when shit hits the fan like it is right now.
No, that's actually great point, because I know there's a lot of questions out there of how are people adapting or evolving when their business gets hit. You know, my buddy who had like a bunch of events lined up lost 50K's worth of work in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This one's a fun one too, being a basketball junkie. But didn't they like revert back and make shit all like shiny and poppy and everything at the end? Like they said they wanted something flat.
Yeah, they did. I think okay. The next slide shows that.
Yeah, it kind of defeat the purpose of going different and flat and simple. And they kind of, exactly reverted back to the old look.
Gotta go. It's what's comfortable.
Yep. Well, that Reebok project was really fun. They needed some designs. They're going to, what were they going to do, Dan? Put that all throughout the inside of their new building in Massachusetts?
Yeah, it ended up being a part of patterns and stuff for their new headquarters, as well as they have a shop in there. We can kind of come in and pick different graphics to have printed on a tee. So some of these were up on the wall, and you could kind of pick like, hey, I want that one on a t-shirt. So ended up being, yeah, super fun project.
Fire.
Something about flash sheets and patterns, man, gets me. Especially black and white. That's my bias choice anyway.
Same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we made half of the book, you know, just black and white. Because, like, those WWE icons, I mean, those things look amazing just black and white. They don't need color, you know.
Yeah, the Super Soaker was a big one. That was a really fun project. We were able to – I think there was, like, 21 water guns we had to redo. We redid the Super Soaker logo. This one was super fun. I mean, Dan had to get crazy on 3D and all these different types, different ways. And, yeah, this was a big project.
Pretty sure I've seen this in Walmart.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, this one is good. This Google one is, they have a Google Cloud office here in Portland. And the fact that they reached out for, you know, something that's a little bit different than we normally do. And to be able to do this and achieve it and do the different colors. I mean, this is, again, one of my favorite projects. Ooh, Wacom. That's a good one. That's one that we've been using their products for 20 years now. So the fact that we were able to link up with them and do some work with them, do some events at their headquarters here in Portland, this is a pretty big one, I'd say.
So everybody over there got a Cintiq?
Yep. Well, at Wacom, yeah. But here we're on all kinds of different stuff. One guy's on a Cintiq, a couple of us are on just the Intuos tablets.
Do you want to touch on the Mountain Dew one real quick, or did we already go by that? Wait, 112. Let's touch on that, and people can always jump on this too. Get the book, of course. Plug that at the end.
Yeah, this was a recent project. So obviously it says February 3rd through the 6th, which is 2020. So Mountain Dew reached out, and they needed every year they do the Dew Tour. So they do a winter stop and a summer stop. And every year they use a new artist to do the branding and event graphics and stuff. So this year they reached out to us. So we were kind of tasked with starting out with the winter event for Copper Mountain. So basically developed the type first. There is a whole slew of type that we did for this that I'll put up on the website. We need to update the website, but there are some super rad comps in there that we presented, some totally different styles that they didn't end up going with. It's kind of what they landed on. So started out with the logo type, and then from there developed the characters and kind of icons on the top right. And then from that, they used those, and we built patterns, which aren't in here. Ton of patterns and graphic sheets and stuff for them that they could use on banners, use for the online, for the TV broadcast animations and stuff. So just a really, really fun project. And then we went to the event and everything's like huge and printed and freaking on the side, the half pipe and yeah, all over. So
I don't ask this much. Is this like an NDA kind of project? Like what kind of figures or what can you talk about? Like what can you charge for something like this? Sorry, Dustin, I cut you off there.
I mean, it depends. I mean, something like this in the beginning is kind of hard to quote. And we went back and forth on price. You know, I have one idea of what it is and they have a budget and, you know, and of course they won't tell you what the budget is, you know, it's like, why don't we just cut the shit and you tell me up front what the budget is, but no. So it's somewhere, you know, I throw out what I'm thinking this is worth. And sometimes, you know, hopefully you're higher and you have to work backwards and come down, as opposed to them being like, yeah, perfect, sounds good. Then you kind of
shoot high and then negotiate.
Yeah, because then you're kind of like, oh shit, like what, you know, what did I leave on the table type of deal. But yeah, this one we kind of negotiated down to, you know, it was a set fee for both events, both sets of branding. So basically a one-time, you know, pay half up front, half when the second set is delivered, the files. So
yeah, this was the winter event. They also have a summer event that's now postponed till September. That's going to be in Long Beach. So that's the second project that Dan was talking about that we did for them.
Nice. So that'll be coming soon. We'll get to see that.
Yeah, but this was a fun project. We got to go out to Colorado, like Dan was saying. I mean, it was a freaking blizzard was there. You know, we were going to do some live printing with Mama Sauce, but we couldn't because the freeway was closed because of the blizzard. And it was gnarly. You know, they had to like postpone the actual snowboard contest to the next day because it was, you know, not visible. But just to be able to cruise around, you know, when you're driving in, you see the logo up top on the banner real big. Go to the bar, your little drink tickets have the characters on it. I mean, they did a great job of merchandising it out.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because this event was, I mean, basically they kind of lost half of the time in the event because of the blizzard. And then now with the summer one, you know, that was supposed to be in May. It was actually supposed to be the last qualifying event for the Olympics, skateboarding in the Olympics. So we were going to have a booth there. It's going to be kind of a big deal because it was the last time you could qualify. And then, of course, you know, the coronavirus and this whole thing put a stop to that. So
fucking Rona, man.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's going to be pushed back till, I think,
September.
September. Yeah,
ideally, so. Fingers crossed. This is all blown over by then, hopefully. Well, let's jump in. Let's wrap things up with some rapid fire, just some listener questions so they can get a shout out and, you know, have Lincoln Design answer their question. You know, surface level, you don't have to go super deep. So this one comes from Skinner Adam 94. How much of your personality should you put into a logo for a client? And maybe think of it from someone who's not necessarily on your stature yet, and maybe someone like earlier in the game.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. I think in the beginning you have to put your personality in there a lot, so you can hopefully get more work going forward and kind of build up your own personal brand to get it going, you know? But then at a certain point on the other side, you got to back away a little bit and kind of give them what they want. You know, if Men of Mayhem come and they want some super aggressive stuff and, you know, that's not you, but they're paying for the project, you got to be able to bring that as well. So I think like Dan was mentioning earlier, the diversity is really important. So it's tough to say. I think when you're smaller starting out, totally make it more of an art project. You know what I mean? And as you grow and get more clients, it turns in from art to design. And that's where you're going to be able to do maybe a Harley, or you're going to be able to do a Paw Patrol. And it's like everything in between. And it's less about you personally at that point.
I like that. My homie, Michael Fugoso, Fugstrader, he talks about think like an artist, but execute like a designer.
Yeah, he's a guy that's kind of very, I'm sure he could do every style, but his look is very defined and it's good. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it's like, if you want that style, you're going to go to him because he can do it best, you know?
So this one comes from Villa_designs. And you kind of touched on this earlier, but let's just go more into it. How many logo options do you offer to a client? You know, there's conflicting schools of thoughts, like one concept only, and you guide the process and everything. And so you just present this one concept, you know, like how do you guys approach it? Clearly that's not your style.
Yeah, we're on the other end of that. We're definitely showing multiple options. I think Dan could bring it. It's, you know, obviously what the pay is, you know what I mean? So whether we're going to do three options or five options or 10 options, you know, it's kind of obviously determines what the pay is, but we're definitely on the school of doing more. You know, we're going to always do more. We're going to show 3 to 5 good ones, and hopefully maybe they buy two. Maybe they want one as the logo and they want the second one as a t-shirt. So to me, it's going to always be better to show options. And then unless they bring the most detailed brief ever, sometimes they don't even know what they want.
Is there a minimum? So 3 to 5 is kind of the range that you will play with to show people, but you're not afraid to show way more?
Exactly. 3 to 5 is usually our base. You know, rarely will we do just one. I mean, I can't even remember the last time we've done that. And upwards to 10, you know what I mean? If it's a, I don't know, if it's like that, that due to our project, I mean, I think we did freaking 15, you know?
Word. This one comes from Chris Luttig. Shout out to Chris under Blandé Design. This is one of my students. We kind of touched on this one earlier, but let's go more in depth. So how much analog versus digital in the concept process? I've noticed in videos that a couple guys are using iPads as well as they're using like Adobe Fresco, Photoshop, or Procreate for work or concepting. And me, I'll add on top of it, how many, do you just kind of find your groove with something and stick with it? Or are you guys constantly experimenting like the Fresco?
I would say it's about 80% digital and maybe 20. Analog, like Davey and Jordan, you know, will do sketches on paper, but for the most part, those sketches very quickly need to get into the computer. I mean, we're not spending days, you know, a day or two, eight, you know, you gotta, I break everything down into hours. Like, you know, if you're working a full day, you spent 8 hours, are you going to spend 8 hours sketching on paper for that logo? To me, no, like that's too long. Like, you know, spend an hour or two, do some sketches on paper, and then get those ideas into the computer and start working on it. You know, Damaso and Brandon, they'll do their sketches in Photoshop, you know, with a brush, looks like pencil, sketch it out in there and then go from there. But yeah, I would say it's about 80% on the computer, whether it's an iPad or, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, each guy has their own little technique. You know, I guess like Dan was mentioning, it's just really about getting however many 2 to 3 logos done in the time slot needed. So if you can sketch half the day and then get those logos done in the other half, then do it, you know, but primarily we need these certain pieces at the deadline. So it's kind of like whatever you feel comfortable doing. But I would say, yeah, like Dan mentioned, Davey's probably the one who sketches the most for logos, but he's fast. He's super fast. So he can whip, he'd be whipping out some stuff where you're like, what the hell, dude, you did that right now?
You can keep them pretty rough too. Like you'll just kind of see this shape and kind of suggested, you know, character or whatever. And then he'll, from that, he'll take it into Illustrator and just go in on it right away. So a lot of his sketches aren't super dialed. You're not like, oh wow, that looks like a finished logo. So yeah, where we had a guy in the past at the old studio who like some of his sketches were just spot on. Like better than the final product. And you're like, damn. So,
and that's always the problem. Yeah. You see a sketch that's a 10 out of 10. And then you see the final product that's a 7 out of 10. And you're like, well, there's potential for it to be amazing. It's still good, but not great.
So I guess on top of that, from someone who maybe isn't in that same field, where you guys got crazy deadlines, multiple projects going on, you know, they just have like one project going on at the time, but still it sounds like you guys set constraints. You're not too precious about it. It's more, you give yourself an hour to get some shit done. Don't be too precious and then throw it into the vector machine or something and start getting to work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Here's a good one. This one comes from Bryson Williams .design. Where do you start as a student who's graduating during coronavirus? Like I have an idea. So, you know, looking for a day job or building portfolio, I know you guys would align with me of not recommending going, jumping into full-time freelance right away, you know, but if you're building like passion projects or something, hiring yourself, what would you do if you caught yourself in this position as a graduating designer student?
I would go all in on, you know, you got to sit at home right now anyways. I'd spend 10 hours a day building my portfolio, getting my Instagram feed going good. I would just, I mean, personal branding. If you can get some side projects and things going, great. If not, I would just dial in what you have as far as your website, social media. I mean, it's going to be a tough time. It's a tough time to graduate right now as far as jobs, obviously. And I think the only thing you can do is basically push hard on your own personal stuff, you know?
Yeah, I would say leave no stone unturned. Go in, do everything. You know what I mean? Knowledge is power. Like try to know as much as you can. Do everything you can. You know what I mean? I mean, pretend you're James Bond and you're going to go out on a mission the next day and you need to prep so hard. I mean, this is, you got to be, I guess, militant about it and be a killer. You know what I mean? You're going up against the best. And once you graduate, I remember back in the day, like, oh shoot, I'm in the big leagues now. I'm essentially going up against Shepard Fairey. Like, wow. Like that's my competitor. He's the best. So you got to be the best. You got to be better than everyone else. And
some people might be like, well, I feel like my portfolio is up. It's done. It's dialed. Then make up a project, you know, make up whatever it is. Like, oh shit, I'm super into coffee. I'm going to make a name and company for coffee and design around that. Put that in your portfolio.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
You'll go to get a job and they might ask, hey, is this a legitimate company? And you're like, no, it's something I made up. But if the design is there and it's solid, like I wouldn't care as far as, you know.
Showing you can do the work.
Show the initiative and even show that you're down to put the time in. I mean, I remember when Jordan applied for us and he had some projects that were like that. And you're like, dang, dude, you actually made up 5 projects or however many and they're all good. You did it yourself. You know, you're a self-starter. And it just shows that, you know, you want somebody like that on your team. You know, like we try to think like, oh, we're trying to build the 95 Bulls team. So it's like, who do you want with you to help support to go to the top? So you want those self-starters.
I like that. So like when I got laid off last November, I thought I was going to go right into full-time freelancer, try and get hired at an agency, something like you guys. But like I went immediately, I wanted to get pizza work and I wanted to get client work. I created 2 fake brands and just went all out showing that custom illustrative branding work. You don't really see on my Instagram, you know, so it lives on my portfolio that I don't really share to anyone because I'm doing coaching. But the second thing, what got me hired at previous jobs wasn't like the typical layout, boring shit that you see a lot of people for a safe local design job. It's I put the stuff that I created first for that showing initiative, showing, you know, I create outside of it. I can't turn my brain off. You know, I'm always creating outside of day jobs. So that's something I would show your dopest work first. And then passion projects first.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we always talk about is what you show is what you get. So, I mean, if you don't show any animation projects, you're never going to get an animation job, you know? So really focus in on that.
Okay. Here's a 2-parter. And this one is for my last one here. And then we'll wrap things up. But this one comes from my student, Nancy Liu. 2 things. What are your sources of inspiration when crafting a logo design? Like, I'm actually curious about that. Do you even get inspiration or is that shit just in your head? I know you got the logo books. And then the second part of the question is, what is one misconception you think people have regarding logo design and or branding?
Inspiration. I personally get on Pinterest a lot, which might sound stupid or cheesy, but
not at all.
But I do use Pinterest. I know some of these guys don't even have accounts or anything.
I fucks with Pinterest. I think
there's a lot of good stuff on there. And a lot of times when, you know, I'll pull some ideas or reference for these guys when I'm setting up the brief for them. Cause for the most part, I don't want them to spend a ton of time looking for reference or ideas. You know, hopefully what I supply them is enough to kind of spark an idea here or there and get rolling on it. So I kind of probably spend a little more time looking for reference and ideas than these guys do. Would you say, Dustin?
Yeah, Dan will definitely give the vibe. And then once you kind of know the vibe they're looking for, you know kind of what path to go down. You don't really, for me personally, you don't really need to do too much research. I mean, we're doing research for ourselves on outside of the clock all the time anyways, or whether I'm at a restaurant and, you know, looking at the menu and how they did this or that. So I think you're kind of always bringing in references in your mind and it's just sitting in the, you know, your recent history in your brain. But for me, it's even just like not even visual reference. It's a good song. Like, let me get a full cup of coffee, a good song. And I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, you know, tapping my foot like crazy and just want to go in, you know? So it could be anything, you know, it could be a song lyric that you hear some rapper say, and you're like, dang, like, let's go, like, let's get this. So
I'm going to get aggressive today on this one. Otherwise, you're listening to like some nursery rhymes when you're getting down on that Paw Patrol song.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, her second part of it is, what's one misconception you think people have regarding logo design and or branding?
Maybe one-hitter quitters, where maybe people think like, I'm just going to do one. Here it is. This is it. Let's go. I mean, to me, it's always a nice collaboration with the client. You're going to show them something that's what I thought was a 10 out of 10. They're going to like it. they're going to suggest, oh, what if we did, you know, what if we did this? And then you actually tweak it and it's even better now. You're like, whoa, I didn't even think of that. I'm glad that they pushed me. That little bit of push is going to typically for myself make a little bit better of a logo. Like when, what does David Goggins say? When you think you're done, you're only halfway done.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Where can people go to follow you online and support you and swoop this book so they can follow through on this copy with us?
You can go to LincolnDesignCo.com, jump on there, go to the shop, and on there is the Logo Mayhem book. We have a couple.
LogoMayhem.com?
Yep, LogoMayhem.com will get you there as well. So yeah, check it out. We have a couple other books on there, some digital books that you can download as well.
Yeah, with all this quarantine stuff going on, we re-release all of our old books in digital form. We didn't really plan on ever printing them again. They're kind of just, you know, they're done. So it's kind of cool to re-put those back out, and we're seeing a good response on those and people going through and seeing some of our older work. So yeah, we have tangible books, digital books, you know, all the way to patches and pins and the cool hat Scotty's wearing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scotty.
Pretty much only rock black. All my black tees, everything. So, yeah, you guys got me fitted for a season at least. So, Dan, Dustin, thank you so much for taking the time and doing this Logo Mayhem May edition. Always a pleasure getting you guys on. You're the first three-peat.
Hey.
First three-peat. So, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for everything. Stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, and keep creating.
Yeah, you too, brother. Thank you.
Thanks for having us on, man. Let's make it 4 episodes here soon.
Yes, sir. All right. Peace out. PC family, Lincoln freaking Design Co. Back for the three-peat, the trifecta, the hat trick, whatever you want to call it. So do what you do best. If you found value in what they had to say today, go blow them up on Instagram right now and share your biggest takeaway or share your notes with them. Actually, you know, go and purchase the Logo Mayhem book. I got it linked up in the show notes. Otherwise, you can find it on their website or on their Instagram. Wherever it is, you can find it. Thanks again, Dan and Dustin. We appreciate your time and your creative genius today. Again, don't forget to take 10% off everything in their shop, especially the Logo Mayhem book, with promo code PERSPECTIVE10. Also, to go access some free digital inking brushes and jump on the 3-day drawing challenge that I'm kicking off tomorrow, Thursday the 14th, over at digitalinkbrushset.com. Again, I just want to hook you up with some freebies before the May 20th official launch of my first ever digital ink brush set for Procreate. About damn time. Okay, so if this show has helped you along your creative grind, there are two ways you can support what we're building here. Number one, you can financially support and back the show over at patreon.com/perspectivepodcast, like my family at Iron Bean Coffee Company and Tony Minix do. And the second way is by subscribing and leaving a rating and review over an Apple Podcast /iTunes. Not only does this help the show climb up the charts in the arts design category, but it locks you in as a future listener of the week, like this week's listener of the week. This one comes from Kickback 2004 from the US. It's titled Up Your Game, Change Your Life, and they state, if you haven't listened to this podcast yet and you work in the design world, it's time to start. Scotty and his guests bring fire each episode. This podcast can fire up your career, and before you know it, it changed your life as well. Just listen to a couple episodes and you'll be hooked. As simple as that. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And make sure you plug your name as well as your Instagram handle so I can give that a shout out. And as I sign off, I want to give a huge thank you to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, my executive assistant, Paige Garland, video specialist, Colton Bacher, and welcome to the team, social media coordinator, Hannah Schick, as well as a huge shout out to Nick Jenkins of Blueca for all the dope theme music you hear on this show. And as I wrap things up, I want to continue to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.